Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Bears win! Bears win! Bears win! Yeah! Now we're talking, and we're talking until 5 a.m. this morning right here on 50,000 watts of Bears power. 670 The Score, Chuck Swirsky with you, along with Tyler Farringall. And wow, what a difference, huh, Tyler? A few days make, because here we were in the studios, folks, after the debacle against the Denver Broncos. And, you know, I'm very upset. I'm just prancing up and down the hallways here at 670 The Score. I couldn't believe the debacle with the Bears and Denver. And a lot of people felt my pain.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
So what happens? Here we are 4 days later. And Tyler, you know what? We really need to re-rack our theme song here and get us in a Victory Friday. Can we do that? So let's go for it. All right, so the Bears victorious, ending a 14-game losing streak, 40-20 over Washington. And how about Justin Fields and DJ Moore? Oh, my goodness. They connected eight times for 230 yards and three touchdowns.
Third and 14. Four-man rush again. Fields to the end zone. Moore, touchdown. So Fields, who had the big first half last week, 20 yards here. Down the field they go. Moore catches two passes, six plays, 75 yards in a little less than 3 minutes. And Chicago draws first blood.
Well, watch Percy Butler, the safety. When you have a vertical receiver against two safeties that are high, the linebacker's got to be able to get vertical. Watch the safety be influenced here, and that creates the opening to the outside. Again, give Justin Fields a lot of credit. That throw should not be there if the safety's doing his job. And again, he makes them pay on the back end.
Third down and six. Fields to the end zone, reaching up. Does he make the catch again? DJ Moore, touchdown. He is having a career in one night. Beats Kendall Fuller again. That's 11 yards for the touchdown. He's already caught five for 137 and two scores.
How about the throw by Justin Fields? A little slant and go. Perfect placement. Fuller never locates the football, and Moore so comfortable being able to get his feet down. Watch this route. Watch Fuller bite on it man-to-man. Ooh, little inside move, and the throw could not have been any better by Justin Fields.
Pass is pulled in by Moore. Gets free. Washington gambles and lose the gamble that time. 56 yards, touchdown. Fuller trying to jump it. Moore able to make the catch and then free to the end zone. And a 230-yard, three-touchdown night for number two.
Yeah, that was amazing. Just amazing. Al Michaels with the call along with Kirk Herbstreit on Amazon Prime. By the way, did you know this, Tyler, that Al Michaels has never eaten a vegetable? I mean, how old is Al Michaels? He's probably, what I would think, what, late 70s? Maybe early 80s? Probably late 70s. And you've never eaten a vegetable? Never. Like, hey, how about a little broccoli? No. How about mashed potatoes? No. How about a carrot? You want a carrot? No.
He's going to be 79 on November 12th.
I mean, don't you think like somewhere when you're a kid, your mom says, here, have a carrot.
Yeah, like how have you never had a single vegetable?
Unbelievable.
That's wild.
It is wild. See what you learn when you join us? We are live. This is not network radio. We're way under the radar for that. But we're having a good time right here on 670 The Score. All right, so DJ Moore with a breakout game. He was fantastic. That's why they brought him over from Carolina. And he talked about his performance against Washington.
CJ coming to Houston tonight, did you have an idea that you could have this kind of night?
No. This morning, I was nervous, out of this world nervous, so I guess that was my body telling me that we was about to go off, so I look forward to having some more nervous days before games.
All right, so there you go, DJ Moore. And you know what? This is going to be because, hey, I mean, I'm the host of this show. Why not? I can give my game balls. I have no idea who they gave game balls to. Obviously, DJ Moore is getting a game ball along with Justin Fields. I've got some stats on Fields that are going to blow your mind. Let me see if I've got these stats here. His last two games, Fields has completed 43 of 64 passes, 617 yards, 8 touchdowns, only 1 interception, with a passing rating of 131.3. Is that unbelievable or what?
Justin what more can Fields. You ask from your quarterback after the weeks of turmoil that's going on with this team?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of turmoil, and Claypool apparently has played his last game, and the Bears are saying, hey, we wish you well, then get out of here. All right, so that's what's going on. But again, my game balls, I'm giving it to Fields. I'm giving it to DJ Moore. I'm giving it to the offensive line, the defensive line. I'm giving it to the Bears medical staff. I mean, how many players did the Bears lose in this game? I mean, they don't play again till the 15th when they take on the Vikings, and that's a winnable game at Soldier Field, and they better win that football game after losing to Denver and Green Bay in Chicago, and they should be favored in that game. But nonetheless, I mean, that's who gets my game balls. I mean, I was really impressed. I mean, they're losing players left and right. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. But again, the Bears win. Now, here's the other story, and this really touched my heart. In fact, to be quite candid with you, I'm at home, and I'm working on the Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks, a game you'll hear right here on The Score, 11:45, pregame coverage Sunday morning in the first preseason game for the Bulls. So I'm working on notes, and I get a text from the sports czar of North American radio, our very own Mitch Rosen. And he says, hey, any stories about Dick? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, Dick Butkus passed away. I said, what? And I was shocked. And I mean, I'll give you a quick story, and then we're going to take some calls. And if you want to talk Bears, you want to talk Butkus, because Butkus was Chicago. Butkus was from CVS, All-American, University of Illinois, first-round pick, Ian Sayers, same draft class. You know that story in 1965 with Papa Bear. But when Dick Butkus returned to really Chicago, was in the broadcast booth on the Bears radio network. And on another station, I was doing the pregame, halftime, postgame. And our booth had Wayne Larrivee, Dick Butkus, and Jim Hart. And I was fortunate to be around that crew morning, noon, and night. And I had never met Dick Butkus until he joined Bears Radio. Okay? So now I'm intimidated. I really am. I mean, as a kid, I grew up watching Dick Butkus play football. Not only play football, he was football. I mean, he was a linebacker. When you looked up the definition of linebacker, there was Dick Butkus, period. Okay? I mean, this guy ate glass for breakfast. So I'm thinking to myself, what do I say? What do I do? And so he comes to the booth, and I saw him at training camp, and he introduces himself to me. Hi, I'm Dick Butkus. Really? I had no idea. And the thing that really impressed me, he never big-timed me or anyone once. And so we would do the pregame show from a stage outside Soldier Field near the flags. And then we would make our way into Soldier Field near the columns up to the broadcast booth. And you know, we had whatever security was back then in the mid-80s, there really wasn't, you know, people around us. But we had one or two people because we had to get on the air, okay? So Dick Butkus never turned down a chance. Hey, Dick, you know, because no, there were no cell phones back in those days. It wasn't people saying, hey, can we get a picture with you? You know, no one brought a Polaroid. So, I mean, but people wanted his autograph. And he was always so kind and so great to people. And, you know, we would talk about his light beer commercials with Bubba Smith. And, I mean, it was great. And he was such a good man. And I know his identity was Bears football, and he relished that. But you know what? He was also a really good human being, and that's why I'm shocked. And so at Illinois, as you know, he was a linebacker, All-American, great, great player, number 51 of the Chicago Bears. And, of course, they gave him a statue in Champaign.
It's very a humbling deal. And you know, and you wonder, you know, why, man? You know, I did what I thought I was supposed to do. And I had fun knocking the shit out of people, you know? So if it was that unusual, I guess you take it, you know?
All right, so that is Dick Butkus, who passed away at the age of 80. If you want to share your thoughts about Dick Butkus, I mean, you know, we're going to see a lot of highlights of Dick as a Bear over the next few days, weeks, whatever. But to me, the biggest highlight was the way he treated people around him and the way he treated fans. He loved being back in Chicago on game day and loved being a part of the Bears family. He reconnected with the Bears family. So we're going to take your calls now at 312-644-6767. If you want to text me, go ahead. I mean, we're here until 5 a.m., and I really want to dedicate this program not only to, you know, the Bears winning a football game, but also to the family, the life, the legacy of Dick Butkus. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767, and I'm just hoping that now the Bears don't get back into Chicago for at least a couple hours, all right? They're probably still in D.C., but when they land and the equipment people are heading back to Halas Hall to get ready, although they'll probably take a day or two off, they don't play again until the 15th. But I'm hoping that they have the number 51 on their jerseys. And I'm hoping somewhere on the turf, it's 51. There's got to be a 51 on the Soldier Field turf somewhere. And that's my hope, and that's my dream. Because, I mean, if anyone symbolized every time the Bears drafted somebody, Singletary, yeah, what about Butkus? Urlacher, hey, what about Butkus? And you're rightfully so. 312-644-6767. Let's go to David. David, you're on 670 The Score. This is Chuck Swirsky. We appreciate you staying with us.
Hi, Chuck. How you doing?
Good. Turn down your radio so we don't get any feedback here. And thank you. And once you turn it down, then we'll give you every opportunity to talk Bears football.
Well, I just wanted to tell you I'm very happy about this win. And I also want to go give my condolences to the Dick Butkus family. And you know what? If I get the chance, I will definitely send his wife, Helen, a sympathy card. And I'm hoping that things get better for the Chicago Bears, and I hope we start a big winning streak.
Yeah, you know, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you mentioned his wife, Helen. I think they just celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. So, again, you know, Dick was such a wonderful man. And, wow, what a legacy. There will never, ever, ever be another Dick Butkus. And, I mean, I was just watching some old NFL films coming in tonight. And if you get a chance, there was one play against Alti Taylor, who was a running back for the Lions back in the day. And the Bears and Lions had some fierce games. I mean, oh, my goodness. And there was a hit that Dick Butkus applied to Alti Taylor of Detroit at the line of scrimmage. That was just incredible. I mean, I don't think Butkus, if he played in today's game, he would have been fined so much He would have had to give just basically his check, his game check, to the NFL every week. But I thank you for the call. Leaving one line open, 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Right here on 670 The Score, Sean is calling from Illinois. Sean, what did you think of the football game? Because, again, there were lapses and there were moments where you kind of, you know, held your breath to see whether or not there was going to be a collapse. But the Bears did enough to win, and I loved what was happening, and I love the fact they kept losing players, and they responded, and they showed resiliency. And I thought that Eberflus did a good job, Getsy did a good job, and they made something out of nothing against a Washington team that is complete. How they managed to be in a ball game last week against Philadelphia, I have no idea, Sean, because let me tell you what, Washington is brutal, absolutely brutal. But, hey, I don't care. The Bears won. What's on your mind?
I feel they did great tonight.
Well, that's obvious, but how did they do so well? Why do you think they played the way they did?
I think the coaches let him play his game the way he needs to play the game.
Yep, and we've seen that the last 2 weeks. And, again, they've got some winnable games coming up. I mean, you look at Minnesota, and you look at the Raiders, and you look at the Chargers. And I'm telling you right now, I'm being very transparent about this. I think the Bears could go on a mini win streak here. I'm taking one game at a time, but it wouldn't surprise me if they won another couple in a row.
I agree with you. At the same time, I've been a Bears fan since I was 6 years old in '85 when they won the Super Bowl, and they have been. For so long, it seems like they've needed to do things. And tonight, I feel like they did something that they need to do and come through. The offensive line was there.
Well, the offensive line got really banged up, too. I mean, everyone got hurt. I mean, our engineer got hurt, and he was just watching the game. So thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Again, I was feeling it. I love the play calling. I love Justin Fields. I mean, the guy had the mojo. He had the swag. And this is the Justin Fields I want to see. And again, we have a lot of football in front of us. But I'm going to celebrate as far as just being able to talk with you on the phones about a Bears victory. It was awesome. All right, let's go to John from Naperville. John, you're on 670 The Score. Good morning.
Good morning, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Excellent. First off, condolences to the Butkus family.
Yes.
Sad to lose him, but amazing memories that we have of him. Number two, I'm going to steal a line from Mully. Our long national nightmare is over. The Bears have finally broken the losing streak. Number three, the score shouldn't have been this close on two plays that, the referees absolutely blew. In the first half, the second ahead of the second field goal, in the back left corner of the end zone where DJ Moore went to go catch the ball, was fully interfered with because the defensive back made contact with him, never turned his head around. The referees missed it. Another referee miss was along the sidelines. Frankly, no one has shown me an angle where DJ Moore stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, you know what? So, again, I'm not the side judge, obviously. They said he stepped out of bounds. I don't know, just from a TV perspective. Did he, didn't he? I don't know. He probably could have gone into the end zone with another score. But the bottom line is they won the football game, okay, period. And they jumped on them early. They led 27-3 at halftime.
But at the same time, given how much Amazon is putting into this broadcast, I mean, every other network that broadcasts NFL football can show that angle. Why couldn't Amazon?
Well, I get what you're saying. I totally understand what you're saying. I thought, you know what? I'm still trying to work past a few things watching the broadcast tonight. I love Kirk Herbstreit on college football. I really do. But I think he's over the top on NFL games because he knows these players so well because he's watched them since they were kids coming out of high school into college doing the ESPN games. So now at the NFL level, I think he tries to do too much trying to show maybe the country, maybe even to Al Michaels that, you know, he belongs in an NFL booth and that he can talk about these players. And I sometimes, you know what, less is more. And I have the utmost Agreed. Respect for Herbstreit. I really do. I think he's excellent at his job. Really, really, really good. I'm still trying to get accustomed to him at the NFL booth because sometimes, and Michaels is so good, he probably doesn't need a color guy because Al Michaels is one of the greatest ever to be in any booth, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, basketball. The man has done it all and then some. But
agreed. Kirk is a little jarring in an NFL booth. I would agree. 100%.
Thank you for the call. Leaving one line open, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. I'm glad so many of our callers are acknowledging the passing of Dick Butkus. You know, if there was a Mount Rushmore of athletes in Chicago, and we've had so many, and the X generation probably doesn't really get Dick Butkus because they weren't even around. I mean, Dick Butkus played his last game in the 70s, early 70s, and so they really never got a chance to see the impact he had on the National Football League and what it was like. I mean, there was no, you know, ESPN. And then, you know, Monday Night Football came on in 1970, I think, the first game, Browns and Jets. But really, I mean, the NFL really took off. Well, it really took off with the Colts-Giants overtime, sudden-death overtime game in 58 with Amici scoring for the Colts. But the league really took off with Monday Night Football. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And there weren't games played on Thursday nights. Sometimes games were played on Saturday nights in the National Football League. But Dick Butkus was a major, big-time factor, and he was must-see TV. And he represented Chicago so well with the way he just carried himself as a bruiser in this game. We have to take a break, Tyler? All right, we're going to take a break. I promise everyone who calls tonight is getting on the air. My game ball is going to the fans. Because we're on the air until 5 a.m. 5 a.m. What am I doing? But I love it. I really do. And, of course, we've got Bulls basketball, Tyler, coming up Sunday, 11:45.
Can't wait Bulls. To hear you back on the play-by-play call.
Yes. I'm fired up. And, again, it's a preseason game. They're training right now in Nashville. But, you know, for now, we're talking Bears football. Back with the calls at a moment. Bears 40. And the Commanders 20.
Pass is hauled in by Moore. Gets free. Washington gambles and lose the gamble that time. 56 yards, touchdown. Fuller trying to jump it. Moore able to make the catch and then free to the end zone. And a 230-yard, three-touchdown night for number two.
All right, so Al Michaels with the call. 40-20, Bears in the win column. You know, Tyler Farrengold is our producer. When I was doing Toronto Raptors games, I had this at the end of a game when the Raptors were going to win, I had this slogan, get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over because the fan wrote me a letter saying, you know, I can't break away to the kitchen to eat until I know that the Raps have won a ball game. So, you know, like a game or two later, Raptors are winning by 11 with about like 12 seconds to go. And I said, get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. And the producer in the truck tells me in the headset, of course, our viewers, I was doing TV, viewers couldn't hear it. And he goes, Chuck, are you okay? What's salami and cheese have to do with a Raptor game? And I said, don't worry about it. I'll explain later. But so I called the Bears game on Twitter tonight when it was 10-0 Bears. And people were like, oh, my goodness, it was not G-rated. Let's just put it that way. And I had to do some serious editing. And they were all over me and jinxed it. You know, go back to the Bulls. We don't need you. You're on the air tonight. What's Mitch Rosen thinking? So I said, hey, I've got this. I've got this. The Bears are going to win. I mean, it's like a breath of fresh air. The Bears won for the first time in, what, over a year? Is that right?
It was October 24th of last year, so okay, nearly so almost, 365 days.
Okay, nearly. All right. Make me a liar for like 2 weeks, whatever.
We're going to call it a year anyway.
Okay, that's right. But a 14-game losing streak, right?
And franchise
and,
record.
And so for the time being, Eberflus is off the hot seat. And good for him, you know, because, you know, think about this. And I know they're handsomely paid, and I know it's a glamorous job, and financially he's probably set and all that good stuff. But you know what? When you get killed every day, it's got to have an effect on your family and your friends and your kids. And it comes with the territory. I get it, okay? I do get it. But I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for the ball club. And I'm happy for you listening to 670 The Score, wherever you're listening, because we're probably booming in right now, whether it's Keokuk, Iowa, or whether it's Minneapolis, St. Paul area, or whether it's Toronto, or whether it's the Eastern Seaboard. Welcome, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Daniel from Downers Grove. Daniel, what's happening?
Wow, Chuck. I'm just like, overwhelmed.
Whoa, Daniel. It sounds like you're talking from a tunnel, like Lower Wacker. Where are you?
Let me turn my speaker off.
Ah, there you go. And I hear the phone ringing in the background. Are you at work, Daniel?
I am a delivery driver for Domino's in Clarendon Hills, and I've been, you know, so I listen to the game. I actually am wearing a jersey from 1965.
Ah.
And it's cotton. And it's an anniversary from 1920 to 1965, the year I was born.
Wow, Daniel. I'm listening to the phones in the background. I mean, the Bears were busy in the end zone last night, and you're busy because people are calling Domino's at, 12:35 in the morning?
We're closed now, but hey, listen, I've been a Bears fan since I was 10 years old, 1975, when Walter Payton was a rookie. So I've seen it all. And then I was 21 when they won the Super Bowl in 1985. I've gone through the years of Doug Avellini and Doug Plank, and this jersey I have, is I treasure it because it's like solid cotton. I heard that he died like right before the game, and I saw that.
Yep.
You know, I was on the Bears app and I saw pictures, and then he said that Dick Butkus died the night before. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
I know. I'll tell you what.
I'm so excited about the Bears this year. I've been studying them. I've never been more excited about the Bears ever, because from the top down, Kevin Warren, incredible, Eberflus, and what they put together, I believe that they're going to be incredible. And so it's been really, really hard the first four games. And last week, I went to church at 9 in the morning, and I was talking to people, and I come out, and I'm like, oh, the Bears game's probably about to start. And I looked at my phone, and it was 1:28. I missed the whole first half.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know you missed the first half. And then, of course, the Broncos came back. But, Daniel, I'm going to let you go because I know you want to close shop. And we appreciate you delivering pizza at this hour. I know a lot of people probably even had a party, a Thursday night party, watching the Bears, because after all, when the Bears are playing football, people watch television, period. I mean, the ratings in Chicago, even when the Bears are not so good, they still get great stuff. You know, here's another guy. You know, we haven't talked about him much, Tyler, because they were losing Herbert, you know, with an injury. And Roshan Johnson, you know, he had a concussion. I mean, they're running backs. And so this Kari Blessing game from the University of Tennessee, and I guess he had been with the Titans and with the Vikings, I guess, a cup of coffee, whatever. And he had, what, three carries in his career? And how many did he get tonight? Let me look at the stat sheet. He had eight carries for 26 yards. I mean, the guy, I mean, he's a fullback. And, I mean, if you went into the ball game saying, yeah, this guy, Kari Blessing game, is going to get eight carries, you're going to go, what? What? And yet, here we are. And so maybe, you know what, I'm going to give him a Swirsky game ball. Why not? Okay?
I mean, they're down two running backs in the game. They're down Deontay Foreman. When you need guys to step up, they stepped up, and Blessing game did just that.
Yep. And the offensive line, they were losing guys. Patrick with a concussion. They had to move guys around. It was unbelievable.
And Tevin Jenkins is back, too. I think that was that could have played a factor in the better blocking.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, listen, we're going to go back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. You can also text us. Let me see if I can do this here about texting. Let's see. Can you talk about the building chemistry between Fields and Moore? I'll tell you, this started really in the offseason after the draft day trade with Carolina, because they would come to some Bulls games together with Claypool. And you could see that that was starting to mount. Let's see. Haven't seen this highlight today. Butkus catching diving game-winning pass in the back of the end zone from Bobby Douglas. Yeah, that was against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, again, all you have to do is you Google and put in Dick Butkus TD against Philadelphia. And I think he caught the ball, and then he showed the football, and I believe the guy who knocked the ball out of his hands in the end zone after it was a touchdown, I think his name was Bill Bradley, not the Bill Bradley of the Knicks or Princeton or the former senator from New Jersey, but he was a DB. I believe, you can look this up, Tyler, I believe that this Bill Bradley went to the University of Texas, if I'm not mistaken. He played in the NFL. He was a really good player, but it was a botched field goal attempt, and Butkus found himself in the end zone, and he caught the ball. So, anyway, so that's another great highlight. So,
you are correct. Bill Bradley did go to Texas. He did play for the Eagles, and he was a defensive back. So, yeah, right in that time frame of when Dick Butkus was on the Chicago Bears.
Yep. Okay, good. See, the memory's still there, okay? I'm not losing it yet, but when I lose it, I'm getting out.
There's a lot of flashbacks coming tonight with Dick Butkus. Yes, so it's good to go back in the memory banks.
Yeah, let's go to Jose from Nebraska. Boy, Jose, where are you living in Nebraska? Let me guess. Are we looking at Lincoln? Are we looking at Omaha? Are we looking where?
No, I'm from the city. I'm a night driver. I'm a truck driver. I'm coming back home.
Wait a minute. I see here, yeah. Jose from Nebraska. You're living in
Chicago.
I'm in
Nebraska now. I'm on the 80 right now, Chuck. Hey, Chuck, it's an honor to talk to you. You got the voice of a goddess. Quick points. I woke up today hearing Dick Butkus die. That pretty sucked. That really sucked. And then great win today for the Bears. It seemed like Dick Butkus was on the field with them. Great win. Another thing, it looked like the players, they played for the coach today. It seemed like the coaches, the players put out their hearts for the coach, you know, to win this game.
Yeah,
and, just really proud. Right? Yeah. We could have been 3-1 now, Chuck. If you look back,
I know.
We
don't been you know what? But should have, would have, could have. Listen, you know what? I should have been 6'11" with hair, and I would have played in the NBA. So, I mean, you know,
I'm back on the bandwagon, Chuck. I'm back on the bandwagon.
Listen, you know what? There's plenty of room, and go for it. And I thank you for the call. Drive safely. All right.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you. So he's driving a taxi in Chicago. How did we get Jose from Nebraska? How did that happen, Tyler? Hey, I'm just going on what the screen says. It says Jose from Nebraska. Here I'm thinking, okay, big signal. We're booming into Omaha, you know, home of the College World Series. Maybe Lincoln, home of the University of Nebraska. the Cornhuskers. By the way, Lincoln, very underrated college town. And I do like Omaha, too. All right, let's go to John from Long Grove. John, how you doing?
Oh, great, Chuck. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add, a lot of your younger listeners may not remember Dick Butkus. I don't. But I do remember Chuck Swirsky's show on WGN. Before there was WMVP, before there was The Score, you had a show, and it was very influential. And I was going to suggest that if there was a Mount Rushmore of Chicago sports talk, that Chuck Swirsky would be on it. You called yourself
Yeah, I don't think so. I appreciate the compliment, but no. Oh, I'm not worthy of that.
Well, thank you, but that's part of it, I guess, your modesty. But, I mean, you know, you had the, you said you had the Do the Dishes Award.
Yes.
And you had your expressions like, he did everything but drive the team bus.
And
in about 1980 or 81 in my study hall at Maine South High School, you know, we sat around and recapped the Chuck Swirsky show. Is my memory serving me correct?
No, you're right. I mean, we had Buffoon of the Week. And we had Faster Than Fast and Quicker Than Quick. He's Quast. I mean, it was really corny. It was really bad. But again, that was 40 years ago. So, you know, some of that I'll blame on immaturity and age.
You say that, but it really was ahead of its time. And, you know, many have followed with the same kind of sort of upbeat attitude, not taking it too seriously. And,
that's right.
The expressions. But lastly, please, and I also remember you talked about Ohio U a lot.
Yes.
Is that possible?
That's where I went to undergrad. Right. And I went to undergraduate school at Ohio University, home of the Bobcats, who are off to a nice start in football. Right. The homecoming game is this Saturday. And I'm from Seattle. I'm wearing my Seattle Supersonics hoodie. And hopefully one day the Sonics will return to the Pacific Northwest. And so my first job coming out of school was actually I got an internship at Cairo Radio in Seattle. And here's how this went down. I was applying everywhere. I couldn't get a job. And, you know, it's a great lesson in perseverance that you just can't give up. If you want something badly, you don't give up. You're going to get hit to the ground and knocked down, you know, 100 times. You get up for the 101st time. And I firmly believe that. So I'm getting knocked down and knocked down. So I told my mom, I said, Mom, listen, I'm applying for grad school. I'm going to go to the University of Washington. I got a double major in sociology. And so I'm going to grad school in sociology. She goes, great. So 1 week, this true story, 1 week before graduate school starts, I get this job offer for an internship at Cairo Radio, paying me $85 a week. And I took it and I called my mom. I said, Mom, you know, I got some good news and I got some bad news. She goes, I want to hear the good news. I said, I got an internship at Cairo Radio in Seattle. And she goes, really? And I said, yes, it's, you know, it's in the sports department. It's going to be great. She goes, well, how are you going to balance that with grad school? I said, well, that's the bad news, Mom, because I'm not going to grad school. And she used that line. I'll never forget this. We were on the phone. She goes, what would your dad think? And my dad died when I was in the sixth grade. And I said, Mom, don't go there. All right, don't play that card. He'd be proud that I got an internship. And that's how it went down. So anyway, long time ago, but thank you for the call. We're going to move on to talk Bears football, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Shane, calling from Mount Prospect. Shane, thank you for being with us at 12:45 in the morning. What's going on?
Nothing crazy. I work right now. I just want to say, you know, rest in peace, Dick Butkus. I can't wait to see what the Bears do for him coming up on their next home game. Big thing about the Bears, though, their offense looks like they're striving, which is good. The defense has got some work to do. Now, they were missing a lot of players, but I'm excited to see what we can turn the season out to. It's not going to be a Super Bowl season, but it will be a season that we remember, which is good.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I'm glad you mentioned this because the defense is shredded right now. I mean, their defensive back situation, but again, they've got 10 days, hopefully, to get some players back, which I'm sure they will. I mean, you know, you get concerned when you hear players with hamstrings because you got to be very, very careful. Because if you rip a hamstring and you tear one, you're gone. You won't be back this year. So, again, you know, you just got to – you got to be side on the of being very cautious with those.
I mean, in last season we were 3-14. You know, 3-14. You're not going to take a team to a Super Bowl after a 3-14 season, but it's showing improvement, and that's what we have to do. Starting off the season 0-4 and losing, having a 28-7 lead last week and losing somehow, it's a really big blow. But see, if we get 40 points, you know, it's it's definitely an encouragement and a move in the right direction.
Yes, I agree. And again, this is one game. I don't want to pump the brakes. I want to enjoy the ride right now, okay? But this club is capable of getting it done. And again, they've got some winnable games, and I think they're going to beat the Vikings at Soldier Field. They're long overdue for a really good four quarters of football here in the great city of Chicago. Thank you for the call. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. And again, we're going to have a ton of highlights. We're going to have a tribute to Dick Butkus later, but we want to hear from you. And I hope you can stay with us until 5 a.m. And if you can't, then you know what? Set the alarm every hour and say, I want to get back and listen to the radio. Yeah, why not? Scott from River North. Scott, what's happening? You're on 670 The Score.
What's up, man? So the game was great. Honestly, the game was wonderful. We won 20-40. But I feel like there's so, and I don't want to go negative on this one, but.
But.
I just feel so organizationally, like we're not doing it right.
Be transparent about this. Are you talking about giving up a second round pick for Claypool?
Well, that's one, but I think that the fact that I mean, I'll go way back and say that like Carolina Panthers got, you know,
yeah. Okay.
Well, we gave Montgomery to Detroit, who's crushing it.
Yep, he
and
is.
And then Greg Olsen. That's what I was going.
All right, but wait. But Greg Olsen had nothing to do with this front office.
No.
Nothing. No. No, don't go there. You want to talk? I mean, what are we going to do?
Organizational. I'm saying, like, we give away great players a lot. And I just feel like Greg Olsen goes to the Panthers, who goes down as one of the best. Probably tight ends of all time.
Okay, but again, this is 2023. The Montgomery thing, I get, but maybe he wanted to leave. Who knows? I mean, the guy's having a terrific year, and I wish him well with Detroit. Thank you. Let's see. We got to mention this, by the way. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Friday. That's right. Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday. There you go. Presented by Busey Bank. And it's notagameillinois.com. Can I read this one more time? I think I need to. Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Busey Bank, and it's notagameillinois.com. Now, coming up between 5 and 5:30, Dustin Rhodes with a pregame show. 6 a.m., you got the Pick 6, Ross Tucker at 7 a.m., Joe Fortenbaugh at 7:45, DJ Moore. Live right here on 670 The Score, 8 a.m. Brad Biggs at 9 a.m. Bernstein and Holmes, Brisker, Heron, Fishbane, Jenkins. Sounds like a law firm. And then Parkinson Spiegel with Ole Kreutz, Dan Weider, and Jalen Johnson. Maybe we'll get a better indication on Jalen Johnson when he's coming back, hopefully against the Vikings.
Can I just say it really quickly, Chuck?
Yes?
I cannot wait for DJ Moore to hit with Mullion Haw after that monster of a game he posted last night. That is going to be one heck of an interview at 8 a.m.
Yes, I agree. I mean, this is what we want out of DJ Moore. And to his defense, I mean, he's an elite receiver. He wasn't getting the ball. And I think they had a kumbaya moment with Luke Getsy, and I think they probably said, hey, listen, you know what? You see that number two guy? Okay, he's a pretty good wide receiver. Get him the ball.
And I also think Ryan Poles feels good after tonight because, you know, he's been getting a lot of negative criticism, by especially the Chase Claypool trade, giving up that second, a.k.a. first-round pick. But now you're giving up a lot of capital. You're gaining a lot of capital, but you gave up the number one pick, and people were doubting you. But look what you got in replace that. And he goes out and has that kind of game. So I also think Ryan Poles is now thinking, ah, the fans can relax after a big game from DJ Moore.
Well, and again, let's say Fields has a tremendous season. Let's say this is a turnaround, okay? And he's fully invested in the Chicago Bears. He wants to be the face of the franchise. Justin Fields does. And I don't blame him. I mean, who wouldn't want to be, finally, we got a quarterback in Chicago, and it's Justin Fields, who by all accounts seems to be a really good guy. I've never met the man, don't know the guy, but he presents himself well. He seems to be very humble and also at the same time understands, hey, I'm the quarterback here in Chicago for the Bears. Okay, so the Bears have Carolina's first-round pick, and Carolina is awful, awful. They're brutal. They're looking for a wide receiver right now because guess what? They lost DJ Moore in the Bears trade. And I think the Bears fleece Carolina in this deal.
No doubt.
So now, let's say Carolina has the worst record in the league, and they're headed that way. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, the Bears have the number one pick. And let's say Fields is playing really, really well, and this kid has paid his dues in Chicago. Do you say to yourself, if you're the Bears, all right, we're going to take that number one pick, and we're going to flip it, and we're going to still get our pick that could be anywhere from, let's say, 4 to 8, maybe, if you win some games. I don't know. But then you could say, all right, you know what? We're going to take the number one pick, and what we're going to do again, we're going to trade it to the second overall pick or the third overall pick, and we're going to pick up another number one, and you're going to cash in, and you're going to keep playing those chips every year. And I'm saying, why not? I mean, but then you got Caleb Williams, and you're saying to yourself, what do we do here? But if Fields develops and he matures and he grows right in front of our very eyes because he's got better players around him and the offensive coordinator, the light bulb goes on, that's going to be a great decision to make because you really can't lose.
And we know Carolina is not, well, obviously they don't have their pick, but the Bears, if they're sold on Justin Fields, these other teams know two of these top five picks, maybe top 10, are not going toward a quarterback. That's going to draw more interest for some of these other teams that are thinking Caleb Williams is still on the board. Drake May perhaps still might be on the board. That's going to get Ryan Poles' attention more for more teams to say, hey, what do we need to do to move up to potentially beat other teams at getting one of these top prospects when, like you said, maybe the Bears are sold on Justin Fields long term.
Yep. By the way, don't sleep on Bo Nix, Oregon.
Really, I like Bo Nix.
Yep. Let's go back to the phone lines at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And again, we will keep you on the line. If you want to call, we will put you on the air. Let's go to Jay from the south side of the great city of Chicago. What's happening, Jay?
Hey, Chuck. You're a legend, man. It's great to talk to you. And first, I'd like to say, as a Chicago kid, I also played linebacker. Dick Butkus was definitely an idol, and I'm way too young. You know, he was way older. But every relative I've ever had said, hey, you got to play like Dick Butkus, kid. Hey, play like Butkus. And I tried to do the best I could. But today I wanted to talk about, I think, some of the defensive backs like played great. You know, we had some good interceptions, sacks by replacing level players.
Yeah.
That was big for today. It was understated because the O-line played great, you know, Fields, Moore, but the D-backs that filled in today did a great job, I thought.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned this. You know what? You're smart, Jay. I love smart callers. So how about this, Jay? Let me give you some stats. You got a second? So the Bears come into the game with how many sacks? Two.
Yeah.
And two. Against Sam Howell, who's a decent quarterback. I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame, okay? But he got sacked five times last night. Five.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the Bears D-line really brought it. And, wow, I mean, that was impressive. I think the Flus
brought some pressure from the outside, too. It was
Let's see.
He was feeling his, like, I think he was kind of feeling like, hey, I'm back to a D coordinator when he's doing that on top of the other things, you know. It might have taken him a week or two, but he's like, hey, I'm going to dial up the pressure like I did in Indy, and let's go.
Yep.
You know?
Well, you're right. Thank you for the call. Five different players registered sacks tonight for the Bears. That's impressive. That was really, really good. All right, we have to take a break. All right, we're going to take a break. Then we'll come back. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. This is Chuck Swirsky. You're listening to 670 The Score, and we're talking Bears football.